Welcome to the podcast of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta, where we are committed to changing lives with faith, hope, and love. We're so glad you are here.
The gospel reading for this Sunday is from the gospel according to Luke. We're reading verses 22 through 40. And in these words, may we hear God's word. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that would be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There is also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew, became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I got to tell y'all, I have trouble with technology. I have trouble with these papers. I do. Do you? I'm telling you, the only way that I can save a document is to print it out and then give it to my wife. Will you hold on to this, please? I tried to send a link to someone with my phone. I decided that it was easier just to drive over there to the person's home and here's my phone. You take it. The older I get, the more help I need with it. Thank you, Will Myers, Melissa Ricketts, Cassie Waits. But they are not always around, so I'm often on the phone with the 1-800 numbers. For someone at war with technology, I find no comfort from the robot that answers my call. So for me, it's speak to a representative. Speak to a representative, I say. Speak to a representative, I say, 48 more times. And then the music. More music. Music. Finally, a human comes on the line. a human that I cannot understand. You know this drill. After years of frustration, I finally began to see the light. And now, I look forward to getting confused so that I can call 1-800 technical assistance. This began when I realized that the folks on the other end of the line that I could not understand had just as much trouble or more trying to understand me. For them to even speak with me and have that job, they had to learn a secret language. So I explained to them, "You might have trouble understanding me. I have a very thick southern accent. I live near Atlanta, Georgia, USA. And they chuckle. And that opens the door. "I noticed your accent. Where do you live?" "India." "Philippines." "Vietnam." "I love this." So I just started a chat. I mean, a real chat, not with a keyboard, you know, not a virtual thing, but we talk. We actually talk. "It's raining here. How's the weather there?" "It's hot." "What time is it for you?" "3 a.m. "Are you working from home?" "Yes." "Are you keeping your family awake?" "I'm in the kitchen table and they're sleeping." "I have 3 children. Tell me about your family." "Well, how are your folks doing?" It's so wonderful. And these customer service workers are patient and gracious with me to give me their time and risk that information. But it's so interesting and fun to get acquainted with folks on the other side of the world. It's my little contribution to world peace. And it's their contribution as well. Through these conversations and through some curious research about the lives of those in my 1-800 community, I've discovered a whole industry which I've never considered. Writing for the Atlantic magazine, Sarah T. Roberts names this industry the commercial content moderation industry in an article entitled "Social Media's Silent Filter." Have you ever wondered how Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and all the other social media companies deal with all the objectionable material people post? Well, computers cannot filter this as well as human eyes and human discernment. And humans in other countries are also much less expensive than computers. Large companies contract with the social media industry to hire under-the-radar workers to scrub this objectionable material. There's only one way to do it, and that's view it. These workers risk their peace of mind by viewing obscene videos and pictures of beheadings, murders, all manner of child molestation and abuse, animal cruelty, other unimaginable but sadly unforgettable atrocities. Shift after shift, day after day, burnout is very high. And some have been disabled by this work. These are the ultimate customer service workers who look at the worst of human behavior, sacrificing their mental and emotional health so that we don't have to. Thank God that they and so many others offer their lives, sacrificing for the benefit of others. We are grateful for those in law enforcement, military service, health care, especially now as we struggle with a life-threatening, a very contagious virus. There are workers that we seldom gave a thought about, who we now call essential workers. Grocers and food processing workers, sanitation workers, many others. When you see these folks, thank them. Just simply say, "Thank you for coming to work today." Mary and Joseph, true to the law of Moses, take their child Jesus to the temple where they offer sacrifice. They encounter Simeon, old Simeon, He's been hanging out in Jerusalem and he has seen a lot. And what he has seen has troubled him. So much so that he is looking forward to death. He prayed that before he dies that God would let him behold the Messiah who would deliver the nation from all Simeon had been viewing. And now he sees this child, Jesus. The Spirit rested upon him and he knew this child was the answer to his prayers. Simeon takes Jesus in his arms and praises God that after all the atrocities he has seen his people suffer, he can now die in peace because he has seen salvation and glory for Israel and all the nations of the world. Amid all this praise and blessing around the birth of Jesus, Simeon confounds these parents with a troubling prediction he makes for Mary. This child, he said, is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now Mary has even more to ponder in her heart. Many will rise and fall. My child opposed. Inner thoughts revealed. A sword piercing my soul. Perhaps Mary remembered the troubling prediction from the angel Gabriel who announced her upcoming unwed pregnancy. You will bear a child who will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and he will be holy and will be called the Son of God. Mary then perhaps remembered her response, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Oh, well. So, it's time for Mary to step up again. It's time for Mary to risk everything in obedience to God. Simeon has warned her. She now must heed that warning as she goes forward. And Jesus bears this same sword. For all the ordeal he went through, the rejection, the suffering, the shameful death on the cross, Jesus felt it all as his sword of sacrifice for the benefit of all. And it didn't stop there. Jesus still feels the sword of every hurtful deed. Every hurtful word, every hurtful thought, Jesus feels it as a sword and suffers. Many are viewing the worst of humanity so that we don't have to. And Jesus, beyond viewing it, Jesus suffers it so that we may live in peace and joy eternally with him. For as long as life endures, Jesus suffers this, forgives, and redeems. Jesus loves us. Jesus Christ, who was there before the beginning with the Creator and the Spirit, will also be waiting to receive us, even beyond the end, because he has scrubbed the worst of humanity so that we may be there. Jesus is our essential Savior. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Marietta. Come join us Sundays at 189 Church Street, Marietta, Georgia, or visit us online at fpcmarietta.org.